You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with The New York Times and WGBH Boston Public Radio.
The reason I'm not going is that I can't bring myself to justify morally or intellectually the immense power we are placing in that man's hands.
66 Democratic lawmakers have announced they are boycotting the official transfer of power. It started with Representative Luis Gutierrez of Illinois, who took to the House floor last week to explain why he was skipping the swearing-in.
I could not look at my wife, my daughters, or my grandson in the eye if I sat there and attended. Is it everything that the candidate said about the women, about the Latinos, the blacks, the Muslims, or any of the other things he said in those speeches and tweets, and that all of that is okay or erased from our collective memory?
Congressman and civil rights movement hero John Lewis of Georgia is also one of the boycotters, as is Congresswoman Barbara Lee from California, among the first to announce she would be boycotting the inauguration. Lee's district includes Oakland and Berkeley. She also skipped George W. Bush's inauguration as well. Congresswoman Lee joins me now via Skype. Congresswoman, welcome to The Takeaway.
Yeah, glad to be with you.
What was it that caused you to make the decision to boycott the inauguration?
You know, I didn't make this decision lightly. I thought about it, and I had wanted to see really how President-elect Trump would conduct himself after he was nominated, well, after he was elected, and the divisiveness upon which he campaigned, such as wanting to have a Muslim ban, building a wall between the United States and Mexico. So I reject an agenda of Donald Trump, but I believe in the peaceful transfer of power and the office of the presidency, and he is the country's next president.
So the tone of the campaign made you decide that you wanted to sit out this inauguration?
Not only the tone of the campaign, it was the behavior and the tone after the election in terms of the governance of our country. And I haven't heard or seen anything that tells me that the tone is not of the campaign is not going to be the framework upon which this administration will govern.
What do you think was accomplished by your boycotting of George W. Bush's inauguration for reasons regarding the war?
I'm not looking at any boycott or staying away from inauguration as trying to accomplish anything. What I feel is important is to be a voice for millions of people who believe that they're being shut out or marginalized or denigrated. In 2001, of course, the Supreme Court appointed President Bush, and there were several of us who protested the seating of the or the certification of the Electoral College because of what happened in Florida and because of the Supreme Court decision that really did appoint the next president. To me, that was very undemocratic, and that was no reason to celebrate.
Donald Trump says he's the one speaking for the marginalized and the disenfranchised.
When he tells the African-American community, what do you have to lose, especially people who have been shut out of the right to vote, people who have had a history of systemic and institutional racism and bias and mass incarceration, there's a lot to lose because we've made significant progress over the years and we've got to keep moving forward. So I reject the fact that he's saying, what do we have to lose? We have a heck of a lot to lose. And I hope that this administration will understand that and include and be a champion for everybody, even people who are poor, the most vulnerable, and people of color and women, the disabled, our seniors, everyone who has a lot at stake in this next administration.
It's my impression that Donald Trump loves to convey a no more business as usual kind of attitude. He goes after someone like John McCain, a sacred cow on Capitol Hill in the GOP caucus. He's gone after John Lewis, certainly a very sacred member of the civil rights community. Do you think he views the whole Congressional Black Caucus as a sacred cow that he'd love to just bypass and say no more business as usual? I'm not going to pay attention to any of you.
Well, it's hard to know what his views are, but I think his behavior and what he says and does is more important. And I just think that he has demonstrated that, at least up until this point, he has not assumed the role of a president-elect and has not been presidential in his statements and in his behavior.
But doesn't a boycott invite him to ignore you? I mean, he does carry vendettas.
You know, it's not about vendettas. We have to step up and we have to really be true to our conscience. We have to be true to the millions of people who really believe that they have no voice in this government and who have been denigrated by this campaign and now the upcoming administration of Donald Trump. We have to wait and see. I intend to where we can work together to create jobs. I certainly hope they don't take away health care from millions of Americans, such as is being planned right now. I certainly hope that criminal justice reform is part of the agenda in a real way. So there are things that we have to work on together, but I have not seen any evidence of that yet. And so, you know, we can't think about this in political terms. We have to be a moral voice, a conscience, and we have to resist many of the policies that would damage and hurt so many Americans.
Well, finally, and this is not a big deal by any means, but you're kind of missing out on one of those Trump T-shirts if you don't go.
As I said, I'm not celebrating this inauguration. And so a T-shirt, if I'm going to wear a T-shirt, I'm celebrating what is taking place. And this is a moment to be reflective, to be somber, and to really make some decisions with regard to how we're going to work in the next 4 years to protect the rights of everyone.
Representative Lee, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
Representative Barbara Lee is a congresswoman from California representing Oakland and Berkeley and other parts of the East Bay.
We're bringing together all of these groups that there's been walls up between us.
There is a counter message, a counter gathering in Washington, D.C. this weekend that is an outgrowth of the nastiness of the 2016 campaign, where candidate Trump was seen as tolerant of racism, demeaning sexualization of women, and hatred of immigrants. Hundreds of thousands are in Washington, D.C. for the Women's March on Washington, beginning with a rally near the U.S. Capitol. Organizers are expecting large turnouts in D.C. and at solidarity marches taking place across the world.
A lot of communities, you know, just were marginalized during this past election, but also in our country's history. And so we're unifying together on Washington as one voice for, you know, the first time in a very long time. And especially we all have different issues, you know, we're marching for, which makes it really cool.
That's Brianne Butler, a global organizer of the Women's March on Washington. She joined me along with her co-organizer, Natasha Williams.
It's like not a march on Trump, right? It's a march on Washington. It's also a march for our U.S. senators, for our congressional body, for even local government, our governors, our state elected officials. It's just a march on the system itself, because the system itself is oppressive, right? And it oppresses women, it oppresses marginalized communities. And of course, the march was, I want to say, inspired by this recent election, inspired by a lot of the rhetoric by Trump and his administration, but it's not a march on Trump.
Do you think Washington gets how much transition that America seems to be in, and that this march will be a reminder that Washington is behind the curve rather than ahead of it?
That is the purpose of the march, is to remind people and to display how far behind the curve we are. So that is the hope.
This has been a total grassroots movement, mm-hmm. and it's really been incredible watching these women step up. Like, I mean, Montana, their march is almost at 2,000 people at this point, which is huge. So not only the march is happening around the world, but then also the people that are coming to D.C., you know, they've worked really hard in getting their fundraising and getting people to sponsor them, asking their friends and family. And we have a mix of just everyday people that are passionate and want to see change. And they are coming, even if they're making minimum wage, they're scrapping together their dollars to be a part of history.
Is it a hard question for you to answer? Is Donald Trump a legitimate president or your president in 2017?
So this question is always hard for me because I'm always at the intersection of the system. To say that he's not my president to me is like anti-democracy, which I want to believe in democracy, like, with all of my heart. But, I mean, there's a lot of glaring flaws and discrepancies with his presidency, with his election. I'm thinking about John Lewis and, you know, that whole thing that's just totally blown up. And I don't know if it's difficult. It's just a constant internal battle, and that's just because of the intersection that I live in, wanting to, you know, be democratic, wanting to really respect our system and our government and having a love for it, but then also understanding a lot of the discrepancies.
Brianne?
I think the bottom line is I believe in America and I believe in the people. And it's fighting for them, fighting for those rights, you know, and it's hard because he's gone against a lot of that, even just with his nominee picks. As far as we've come as a country, I feel like we'd just be taking steps back. What we fought for so long as a woman, not to mention as a black woman or a Muslim woman or a Native American woman, it's very disturbing.
I mean, you said it's not an anti-Trump march, but what would be your hope for this message being a counter message to the inauguration?
Us coming together like this, I mean, that's powerful in itself. We still don't know exactly how many people are going to show up, but I think that even just having that human interaction right now, we live through our screens, right? And there's something about actually connecting with somebody and being in a place with hundreds of thousands of other people that feel the same way. There's power in that. And I think that people are going to be pumped up after this march. And if we can keep that momentum going and give them the tools and the resources, educate them in how they can get involved on a local level, because it happens from the ground up. If you can make a difference in your zip code, then yeah, those decisions can turn the country around. You know, we have three keywords: educate, organize, mobilize. And to be honest, we might be marching again, maybe sooner than we'd like.
Is that really the impetus from this election? So many people have said, you know, I'm sick of the federal government. Obviously, there's importance at the federal level. But do you think there's a renewed effort to focus on local politics?
Yes.
You run for office.
Yeah.
Do you plan to get involved?
You know, the Republican Party has always focused locally. That's been
and
their strength.
And they've done a hell of a job.
And they've done an amazing job. And so I think for the Democratic Party, 100% is this renewed sense to really focus on local elections. So, yes, I agree. This election, this campaign has definitely inspired the Democratic Party to focus on local elections.
You know, for me, it was always really intimidating. You know, I felt like, oh, I don't know enough to speak up, so I just won't say anything, or you know, just blindly sharing a story without really reading it. But yeah,
well,
there's a lot to do. There's a lot to do.
Lace up your shoes and run for something. That's what the president said in his farewell address.
Yes.
He wasn't talking about Republicans or Democrats. Whatever it is, do it.
Yeah, exactly. He said, get a clipboard, get some signatures.
Yeah. I hope anyway that this march encourages people to be like, you know what? I might not have known about things before. I might not have been there, but I'm here now and I'm willing to learn. And this is where the change is going to happen. Everyday people stepping up. We're seeing a wave of political activism we haven't seen since the 60s or 70s, and it is well overdue. But you know what? I think we're heading into a new era, and hopefully people do get involved, because I'm sorry, but sharing a status on Facebook isn't enough. And I think that we all saw this past election.
Breanne Butler, Natasha Williams, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you.